boys and girls. Welcome to the Children's Bible Club, coming to you from way down south where the cotton and peanuts grow, and where the Children's Bible Club and Aunt Carolyn meet with you every week. So get yourself settled for some good songs and a real story from God's Word. And now, here's Mr. Woods and the choir to warm up our hearts before story time.
Thank you, choir. There's nothing like hearing children's voices blending together to sing praise to the Lord. You know, Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You notice it says, making melody. It doesn't say making jive or jazz or rap or dissonance, or clamor or clatter. It says melody, where the melody and music enhances the message of the song. And you'll also notice that the verse said, making melody unto the Lord. Our song should bring praise and attention to our Lord Jesus Christ and all that He's done for us, not to ourselves. It's not about us. We want to sing and learn good scriptural songs, songs based on the Word of God. The songs we learn as children go with us through life, and if they're biblical songs, they'll stand us in good stead, as the Bible says, in the night season. And may I make an important suggestion to you, boys and girls? If you're singing a song and the words don't seem to make sense to you, go to your teacher or parents and ask what the troubling word means. It will help you to know what you're singing about, or you may find out that you're singing the wrong word because you were hearing it wrong. That's what happened to a little girl I remember. We had learned a happy little chorus, I keep in touch with Jesus, and He keeps touch with me, and so we walk together in perfect harmony. Good song? Right. Sure is. But on the bus, Terry was joyfully singing, I keep in Dutch with Jesus. Well, in her case, I'm afraid she may have been singing the truth, but she needed to learn what the song really said. And another child was heard to sing Bringing in the Sheeps instead of Bringing in the Sheaves. Now, I know that that may be how she heard the word, or maybe she had no idea what sheaves were. That good song was written long before her time, over 150 years ago, when farmers harvested their wheat by cutting it low to the ground, gathering it into bundles in their arms, tying a heavy string around it, and setting it up in shocks to dry. When it was dry then, the farmer took it to the barn or stacked it to store for the winter food for his animals. So let's think about the song's message and really make melody to the Lord. And now, choir, help us understand your words.
Exhausted, falling at Abram's feet. "Bring this man some water," Abram called. "Calm down, my son. Speak clearly. What's wrong?" "It's Lot, sir, your nephew, Lot. He's in trouble, big trouble."
"What kind of trouble? Speak up, man."
Abram might well have suspected something bad would happen to his nephew when Lot made the selfish, worldly choice to live near Sodom. The plain of Jordan may have been lush for raising crops and making money, but the environment was no place for a family. But Lot had made his choice, and now he was in big trouble indeed. Anyone who mingles with the world is doomed to reap the effects of its ways and conduct. 5 kings revolted against King Chedorlaomer, and he and 3 allied kings invaded the territories of the 5 King League and did them in, big time. They razed and ransacked everything in their path, including Sodom, where Lot was. And horror of horrors, the enemy army ravaged Lot's farm, took all his goods, and worse yet, captured Lot and his wife and family and servants. Everything gone. Captives and slaves to a heathen king in a heathen foreign land. Oh, the price of selfishness and greed. That's the bad news. The good news is that one lone servant of Lot somehow escaped. He not only escaped for his own life, but he was unselfish and concerned about the other captives. He dodged between trees, behind rocks, anywhere he could find to give a little cover to hide as he escaped, then made a beeline as fast as he could straight to Abram in Canaan. He didn't spare himself, but ran until he fell exhausted at Abram's feet. One thing good about him, he knew who to run to for help when there was trouble. As fast as he could speak, the awful, tragic story spilled out. The kings had invaded the territory and taken everyone captive, including Lot and his family and servants. Abram could have said, "Well, it serves Lot right after the way he treated me. I knew he'd get his comeuppance sometime." No, Abram wasted no time. He called 300 of his servants who he had trained for battle, armed them to the teeth, and like a warring army struck out with a vengeance across the desert and mountains and around the slime pits to rescue his nephew. And rescue they did. Lot, his family, his servants, and all his goods. All or nothing at all. What a battle!
but what a triumph for Abram, and what a praise to his God. The poor old king of Sodom, godless as he was, knew Abram had won a great victory and was a hero. He wanted to give him a big reward, but Abram knew who had given him safety and victory. "No thanks," he told the king. "Almighty God gave us the victory today. Except for what my men have eaten so they could keep fighting, I don't want anything from you. No reward and no pay. You might give it to me today, but later brag that you made Abram rich. The truth is, King Bera, that all I have comes from the merciful hand of Almighty God." Abram delivered Lot back to his home in Sodom, and then returned to his own home in Canaan with all his army intact. Heroes all, and mighty thankful to be home. After all that, God met Abram again and renewed his promise that he would give him a son. Now Abram wondered how that could be. He was old, his wife was old, and still they had no son. Would Abram have to count one of his servants as his heir? "No, no," God said. "You'll have a son of your own, and from him will come multitudes of descendants, more than the stars, so many you won't be able to count them." Whew! That was a mighty big promise, a seeming impossible promise. But Abram believed God's word, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Abram had faith in God, and faith pleases God. Now God has given you a precious promise too. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God promises you forgiveness of sin and eternal life. But you have to believe what he has said, that you are a sinner, that you can't save yourself, and that only through trusting in the finished work of Christ can you be saved. Take God at his word. Simply believe him. "As many as received him," John said, the Lord Jesus Christ, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Our time is gone for today. May God bless you until this time next week.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.